Christians go through at least three experiences of birth. First of all, there is the birth by which we come forth from our mother's womb into the reality of this natural, albeit fallen, world. Secondly, there is our baptism, by which we came forth from the womb of the world, into the reality of the supernatural and redeemed world, the family of God, the Church of Christ. And thirdly, there is our death. For those of us who belong to Jesus, who struggled faithfully to follow him who is the way, the truth, and the life, our death becomes a birth by which we come forth from the womb of our mother, the Church, into the wider and glorious eternity of God. So today, we come together to pray for our beloved dead, to make intercession for them, to pray that their eternal life might come to its fitting conclusion in heaven. Now, the departure of a soul from this life and its birth into eternity is an entry into a new phase of wonderful growth for Christ's disciples on their journey back to the Father. At death, those who have been faithful to him and in whom there's been a sort of Godward journey enter more deeply into this Godward movement, this movement of return to the Father. Now, as I said last Sunday, everyone in heaven is a saint. All the big S saints that we know about, St. James, St. Francis, and so on, all the little S saints, like your great aunt Sophie. Now, unless we have become the saints that God created us to be at our baptism, unless we have been completely conformed to the image of Christ in this present life, then we are not yet at death saints. There's nothing magical about the act of dying that makes a soul automatically ready for heaven. Heaven, you recall, is that place, that state, that dwelling in the full presence of God in all of his splendor. And to stand in God's presence, in his glory, and not be destroyed by the splendor of God requires a person who has become whole and perfect, even as our Heavenly Father himself is perfect. That is what Jesus tells us we must become if we are to dwell with the Father. I don't know about you, but I'm not there yet. And so the Father, in his infinite mercy, provides stages of approach to him that we might grow into the wholeness and the perfection that he wills for us. So for the faithful, death is our birth into the wonderful paradise of God, an intermediate state in which we are closer to God, a state in which we continue to grow in his love and service. So finally, there will not be one part of us which is incompatible with his love and perfection. Paradise is that forecourt of heaven, where the souls of the faithful departed are cleansed and purified and healed by the holiness and mercy of Almighty God. Paradise is, as it were, all that place where all unfinished business is transacted, all that each soul brings with it through death that is unfit for heavenly life is worked out in this intermediate state until we are finally perfect and ready to see God face to face. Now, it's been revealed to us that the prayers of we the living speed the Godward journey of the dead. To offer our prayers for our beloved dead, to lend our assistance in their journey of return to the Father. This is what Judas Maccabeus meant when he said, "It is a holy, and salutary thing to pray for the dead, that they might be loosed from their sins. This is what Jesus meant when he spoke about forgiveness of sin in this life and in the next. This is what we mean when we pray in the words of the prayer for the whole state at the Rite One Mass. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to grant them continual growth in thy love and service. You see, the Christian religion is not just concerned with the relationship of each soul separately to God. Christianity is concerned with the mystical body, wherein all are members one of another, the saints in heaven, the faithful on earth, and the souls in paradise. We call this the communion of saints. Now, not everyone believes in the communion of saints. John Calvin, the 16th century ruler of Geneva, did not. Story goes that he was out walking early one morning and came upon a mother weeping at the grave of her son. Hanging on to the tombstone as if for dear life, pouring out anguished prayers for the soul of her dead boy. Calvin had the woman publicly flogged. Prayer for the dead, he said, was evil and unprofitable. But we believe that Christ is the vine and we are the branches, no matter whether we live in this world or in the next. And so it is our duty and our privilege to pray for the faithful departed, to assist them on their journey to heaven. Now, we can do much for the holy souls, and it's only natural to ask what they can do for us. Well, in large part, we don't know. But this, I think, we can say. The souls in paradise remind us of the fact of death, of your death and of mine. There's something like those little reflector posts along the highway. Though present, they're hardly ever noticed in the broad daylight. But when the sun goes down and the road is dark, those little reflective guideposts come to life, and they stand out as clear, illumined reflectors, showing the way and helping us to stay on the road. And it's on occasions like this that the faithful departed stand out clearly and influence us the most. You know, you and I tend to think of judgment as something that will happen at the last day in the distant future. But in a very real sense, judgment is happening right now. The book that will be opened on the last day is being written now. And the progress made by each soul in paradise is determined by the effort during earthly life. And whatever growth in holiness and sanctity is not accomplished here has to be dealt with in that place of unfinished business. So we need to strive to lead holy lives that bring honor to God and to our neighbor. What do the holy souls do for us? Well, as individual Christians, they remind us that our work in this life is to grow as much in the knowledge and love and service of God as we can, so that when we are born into eternity, we'll be far along in our journey of maturing into the full stature of Christ. What we do at times of the year like this is a very important ministry. It is a very loving ministry to our beloved dead. And don't forget that one day we will be where the holy souls are now, and we will be glad of the prayers of the church on earth. And it's not in vain that we pray, rest eternal, grant unto them, O Lord, that light perpetual shine upon them. Amen. Let us stand in the words of the Nicene Creed, confess our faith, saying, we believe in one God.